We're going to be in Psalm 56 tonight, and this is a very special psalm. You might have a heading in there in your Bible that may say something like a prayer of trust. It just kind of reminds me of what Paul wrote in the Romans, if God be for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And I just want you to keep repeating that because this psalm, if you will, teaches us about a sure path of faith. And in faith, that's a path that only, you know, traveling from the enemy's ravenous jaws into the light of our great Jehovah, that's a path that only faith can tread. And faith is forsaking all, I trust him. And if you're going to forsake all, it means you don't worry about yourself. You don't worry about what's going to happen to you, whatever you're going through. We just know it's going to be all right because if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, let me ask you tonight, is God for us? You better believe it. So what have we to fear? What have we to dread? If God is for us, who can be against us? And so David was certainly a master of walking by faith, and these psalms, though they were written long ago, are still very applicable for our lives today. Whether David was being pursued by enemies or Jesus being persecuted by the religious establishment, or us as a church as we undergo affliction in this world, how many of you would say, boy, since COVID came, we've really dealt with a lot of stuff. We've been under affliction for a long time, but COVID, if you will, brought it to the forefront of many people's minds. But the church is going to undergo affliction in this world, and our own souls are going to be encompassed in a continual spiritual battle called a spiritual war. You and I have an enemy. His name is Satan. He's not for us, by the way. He's dead set against us. And he's going to do anything he can to destroy us. So the words that we're going to read tonight in this psalm are applicable for us tonight and to every situation that would assail us. This psalm points the way to the loftiest ideals of a dedicated saint. And in a dedicated saint's highest ambition, if I was to ask you tonight, what is your highest ambition with God? How would you answer that? Have you ever thought about that? Now, I think a dedicated saint's highest ambition is to get home to heaven, amen? I mean, I believe that, but you got to be dedicated. Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate, the narrow way. He said, be a doer of my word so you don't deceive your own self. He said, by your fruits, people are going to know you. The actions of our lives are going to prove whether the words that we've said are true. I mean, and so if we're going to walk righteously before him, rejoicing in his presence, enjoying the light and glory that only Christ can reveal in these dark times in which we're living. Now, I want you to think about our church for just a moment. We'll just take our church. Isn't it wonderful how God has continued to protect us? Isn't it wonderful that during this dark period of affliction, how many souls in the last year have come to know Christ since COVID started? How many baptismal services we've had? We ordained two new deacons. We've got an associate pastor of youth and families. And though we're going through times of affliction, if God be for us, who can be against us? The church still marches on. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. If God be for us. Hell can be right outside the door, but it will never prevail over the church of dedicated Christians whose highest ambition is to live for the glory of God. And that's something we've all got to ask ourselves. This psalm is a great benefit to help us grow and be on a constant progression. A constant progression in something that Christ has asked us to be begins in the book of Leviticus, and it carries on all the way through the Bible 8 different times. Jesus says, we read in the Word of God, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that's our goal. We have to be holy. And it means there's always going to be some cleaning up to do as long as we're in this world. Amen. We're not going to be perfect down here, but we're on the upward way. New heights we're gaining every day, as the song says. Well, let's look at Psalm 56, and David is going to write here, and remember, this is the walk of faith. Be merciful unto me, O God, for many would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Well, by golly, if that isn't a verse that describes spiritual warfare, that describes what the devil is up to every day in my life and in your life and every dedicated Christian's life, and we need the mercies of God. We need God's mercies to lift us up, to get us up, to keep us going when we get tripped up, when we get knocked down, when we get assailed. It just seems that sometimes, David says here, for man would swallow me up, and it seems like sometimes there are people all around us who would just like to chew us up and spit us out. That's life. Be merciful unto me, O God. I can guarantee you that all of us have asked for God's mercy. Whether we're going through afflictions with our children or our spouse's health condition or this or that, we need the mercies of God. And I love the way David starts it. Be merciful unto me, O God. He gets right to the point. And the Bible tells us that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. We have a faithful God. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Now he goes on here, verse 2, mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Have you ever stopped to think of all the enemies you have? I mean, some of us battle certain health issues. Your body is attacking itself, and it's not cooperating. It's not doing what it was designed to do for one reason or another. And then you can even have enemies, physical enemies, people who want to persecute you, whatever. I mean, if we stop to think of all the enemies we have, but we have one great enemy. And if we're not careful, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. And so he goes, mine enemies would swallow me up daily. There be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's trust. It does not matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter what we're being having to go through. We know that God is for us, and if God is for us, nothing can be against us. So if we're in the midst of a fiery trial, Who allowed that into our life? God did. If Satan wants to attack you, do you realize he has to ask permission first? That's what the book of Job is all about. Jesus said, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you. Satan has to ask permission if he's going to sift us, if he's going to test our faith. He's got to get permission. No matter what we go through as a child of God, we need to understand that God has allowed it. And if God has allowed it, he has a purpose in it. And if God is for us, who can be against us? God will see us through. That's why I like what Marty says. And God sent me to Southwest Virginia so I could hear a man speak the truth. It's going to be all right. That applies in every situation, doesn't it? And so, you know, I don't know how long Marty's been saying that, but he's sure been preaching it real good for all the time I've been here, and I bet he's been doing it all his life. What a message. It's going to be all right. And so, what time I am afraid, I will trust in God. Well, that's exactly what Marty says when he says it's going to be all right. He's just saying, my trust is in God. And he goes on here, in God will I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Now, how many of you fear what someone else may do to you? Or what your own health may do to you? But David writes here, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity in thine anger? Cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? There's nothing like faith to help in a pinch. And David needed faith because he's describing a time in his life when he's got nowhere to flee. There were no safe places for him to hide anymore in Israel as King Saul was surrounding the nation, and the nation was trying to find David so they could tell Saul. And so David, this is a time when David wrote this psalm when he fled to the city of Gath. It's a Philistine city. But the only problem with Gath is that it belonged to the Philistines. And David had recently killed their great warrior, Goliath. Now, could you imagine being in war, taking out the champion of another tribe, and now your tribe don't want you no more, and the only place you can run is to the tribe where you just killed their champion? What do you think they might do to you? And so this is, historically, this psalm was written when David fled into enemy territory, and whether you realize it or not, we live in enemy territory today. This world is not our home. It belongs to the devil, and it's his world and his kingdom. And we're in enemy territory, but we're the light of the world. And the men of Gath took him, and they took him to Achish the king. And this is kind of prophetic of Jesus going before Pilate, if you will. Did Jesus pitch a fit when he was taken to Pilate? No. He didn't protest or proclaim his innocence. The Bible teaches that Jesus didn't say a word. Jesus left his glory above to walk in humanity, and there's something instructive for us in this. How many of you are prone to begin to defend yourself? Sometimes we just need to remain silent. And silent isn't easy. When attacked, we want to, or when kicked, we want to kick back. When slapped, we want to slap back. You know, if somebody says something about us, we want to fight back. So we can learn something from Jesus. Jesus left his glory above to walk in humanity, and, you know, falling from heaven to earth or coming from heaven to earth, that's a big drop. So when we read the account of David before Achish in 1 Samuel 21, we find that David didn't speak a word either. I mean, what could you say? You are the man who took out Goliath. But David had been driven by the pursuit of King Saul to seek asylum in the enemy's land. But David did one thing very peculiar as we set the historicity of this psalm. He changed his behavior and he acted like a man who'd gone mad. If you've ever read the Bible, if you've ever read this account for Samuel, you know that David began to let his spit dribble down his beard, and he began to claw at the door, and he began to fake that he'd gone mad, and he did that because he feared what Achish might do to him. And you may be wondering, well, why didn't they just take David and kill him for what he did to Goliath? That would seem natural, right? But it was the custom of that time not to harm the mentally unstable person. As a result, David was able to flee from Achish as well. I mean, the poor man's on the run. Enemies are everywhere. He's got nowhere to hide. Have you ever felt in your... Has there ever been a time in your life when you felt you got nowhere to turn? You go to work and you're being attacked at work. You know, the workplace, the work environment isn't any good at all. It's stressful. And you go home and you wish your kids were behaving, but, you know, they're your husband's kids because they're behaving just like them. You know, whenever my kids were bad, I said they came from Michelle's side of the family. Couldn't come from mine. But it just seems like, you know, everywhere we turn sometimes, it's very stressful. Amen. And we're in a constant battle. And so David ran and hid in Moab in the cave of Adullam. And Israel wasn't on friendly terms with the Moabites either. But the Moabites allowed David to reside in the cave at Adullam. And David had some family ties with the Moabites, you see. You remember the story of Ruth in the Bible? She was from Moab. So David had a shirt-tail relation. His father was Jesse. That was Ruth's child. This is a grandchild. If we do something here, we're going to have family problems. Nobody likes family problems, do we? And so, he's able to stay because he had a grandmother from Moab named Ruth. And here it is where David sat down and penned the 56th Psalm. Now, we're all going to have times, without a doubt, that David describes here in verses 1 and 2. There are going to be those times in our lives when we're in some deep distress. Now, how many of you have had times when you've been in deep distress? Just raise your hand. If you haven't, come on up. I'll lay hands on and pray for you that you can be like the rest of us who've gone through those times. But there's going to be times when nobody has any mercy for us, nothing good to say about us. They're just going to whatever. And times when we feel as if our enemies just surround us and they just want to smother us. And as I said, we have a great enemy, and his name is Satan. And we must never forget this. That's why we're encouraged to put on the full armor of God every day. Put on the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Get your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Pick up the sword of the Spirit. Because when you go out the door, there's the enemy. Somewhere. Sometimes you can show up and the enemy's in your own family. Can you say amen? Sometimes, I don't know why, the devil just gets in people. But Scripture tells us that our enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if he can catch us in a weak point, because we haven't geared up, he's going to have his way with us. And so we can rest assured, like David, that we're going to face times of deep distress. And in times like these, our souls have a safe haven to turn to. It is the Word of God. It is God Himself. As we pray and we read the Scriptures, we can find peace and rest for our souls. And there were times when David was afraid. That's what I love about David. He just spells out every emotion he's going through. Have there ever been a time when you've been afraid? I mean, I've had plenty of them. There's times when we are afraid. In fact, men who say they're never afraid, what are those men in all reality? You got that right. You got that right. They're either liars or they're incredibly ignorant. So David's intelligence deprived him of the stupid heedlessness of ignorance. David knew what it was to be afraid. And I'll bet you every one of us in here, he saw the nearness of his peril. How many of you realize this? There is but a step between us and death. Darrell Fletcher likes to say it this way, you're just one heartbeat away. Do you realize that? I mean, we make plans, all the things we're going to do weeks from now, months from now. We're going to go here. We're going to go there. We're going to do this. If the Lord wills, we may get to do it. That's why we always are to make our plans by saying, if God wills, because God may will not. It may be your time to be gone, to be in heaven. We must never forget that all men are liable to overthrow and unable to prevent it. You realize that? I don't care how strong you think you are, there's always somebody stronger. I don't care how smart you think you are, there's always somebody smarter. You're not going to be here forever, because at our best, we're but feeble. Our physical strength doesn't run forever. How many of you get tired by the end of the day? How many of you get tired by midday now? So we know. And for all these reasons, there's times when we're afraid. You know, I think sometimes when we get older, and I think about my daddy, and, you know, daddy don't want to travel anymore. Well, you know, he's 87 and doesn't have the physical strength to take care of things. If something was to happen, so the best place to be is not to travel. There will come a time in all of our lives when we're not going to be able to do what we used to do, because we'll be fearful. We'll be fearful of the circumstances. We'll think we might not be able to handle something. And so we just need to admit those things. And David's mind was complex. He feared, but he didn't fear what men could do to him. And I think that's important. He had a healthy fear of God. He understood his frame. He understood what life was all about. But he did not fear what men could do to him. Now understand, he's in the midst where men are trying to kill him. I mean, he's not fearful of that. His fear drove him to his God. And in the times that we are afraid, we should be driven to God. He says here, well, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Now, how do you draw near to God? Now, I don't know how you do it. I do it through his word. I've got a Bible. I've got God's word. And in God's word, there's a wonderful verse that says, let not your heart be troubled. And in many places in the Bible, we read, fear not. Oh, I love that passage. Fear not, for I am with thee. You know, when I'm afraid, I need to fear not. So I go to the verse that says, fear not, for I am with thee. I go to the verse that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? There's great confidence in those verses. Those verses get my mind centered back where it needs to be, on my God, who ultimately has control of my life. Who knows the number of breaths, the number of heartbeats, the number of days? God does. Who knows how I'm leaving this world? God does. And you've all heard me say this, I want to avoid the middleman and just be caught up in the air. But if God determines I got to go see the middleman, well, so be it. David's fear drove him into the court of his Savior. And that's where we need to go. And it's in going there that David learned something life-changing and very valuable. He learned that flesh can only wound flesh, but it can't touch your spirit. It can't touch your soul. Doesn't matter what happens to this physical tent you look at. The devil can't have your soul. And even if an enemy in the flesh was to take you out, where are you in that instance? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You're walking the path home to heaven. Is this body meant to live forever? No. But the spirit is. The soul is. A man may kill you, but he cannot hurt you. That doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, evidently, if you're dead, you must have been hurt, but the Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We've already been consigned to Christ through the blood of the cross. We have a Savior. We have a rock. He's our high tower. He is our fortress. We have a God who loves us and cares for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? We often talk in terms down here, in human terms, of losing our life. You can't lose your life because you're going to live for eternity. You understand that? Our life, the moment you made the decision to come forward and repent of your sin and give your heart and your soul and your life to Jesus, he bought you with a price and you belong to him. The Bible says you're no longer your own. You have nothing to lose. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible tells us. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself." Whew. That's incredible, isn't it? Faith and fear are always going to stand together. Yet faith brings forth praise. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, verse 4, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. Faith exercise is fear banished, and a holy triumph ensues. What can man do unto us in all reality? Not one darn thing. Not one darn thing. He can not even inflict any real injury, if you will, for God has already declared that whatever malice may be inflicted upon us, it will be overruled for our good. We remember the verse, Romans 8:28, God works together for good. All things to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. When you're going through a hard and difficult time, and you can't see any good, and you wonder if God's even working, rest assured, God's at work. And no matter what we go through as a child of God, he's going to work it out for our good. We all remember Peter. Jesus said, "Peter, Satan has asked to sift thee, but I have prayed for thee." And then we remember that Peter went out, stepped on a spiritual banana peel. He said, "If enough they all fall away, I won't, Lord. I'm ready to die with you." Jesus said, "Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times." Peter said, "Not going to happen. I'm ready to go with you." And of course, we all know what happened. Peter denies him three times, just as Jesus said. Peter failed in the flesh. It's a terrible situation. And yet God took that situation and worked it all around for Peter's good. And Jesus and Peter over campfire. Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yea, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep." Asked him again a second time, "Feed my sheep." Asked him again a third time. Why a third time? Because Peter had denied him three times. So Jesus restored him fully. And Peter went on to no longer fear the cross. You see, that was Peter's biggest fear. He had his eyes in the wrong place. And Jesus even told Peter how he was going to die. One day somebody's going to take you where you don't want to go. And it happened. And Peter was crucified. But Peter wanted to make no mistake between who he was and who his Lord was. So Peter asked to be crucified upside down. But you know what? Peter exercised faith. That which he feared most, he no longer feared. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. When they stuck the first nail in Peter, he began to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But he didn't have to fear no evil, for God was with him. So faith exercise, it banishes fear. No matter what we go through, God is going to take it. He's going to work it around for our good. But sometimes we got to be patient. Sometimes we got to wait on the Lord. But praying on the faith, David asks the question. He says here in Exodus Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they lie in wait for my soul. Verse 7, shall they escape by iniquity? So he asked the question, will they escape in spite of such sin? And he asked the question because his enemies' twisted words and their thoughts toward him were continually evil to the point that they were constantly stirring up strife, hoping to take his life. And so he asked a normal human question, Lord, are they going to escape? What you going to do to them? Now, why did he ask the question? And why did he address it to God? Because we're all prone to think thoughts of revenge. Oh, what I would love to do to get back at you. Ever have thoughts like that? One on a soul. But what happens to us if we harbor unforgiveness in our heart? What springs up? A root of bitterness. And it's not going to be any good for us. Because, listen, if Charlotte's done something to me and I'm thinking evil thoughts toward her, well, she's going on about life just as if nothing ever happened. But who's the one who's suffering? Me. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You see, we got to get off the throne and allow God to do what he's going to do. So David says, Lord, which is natural, will they escape? In other words, look what they've done. What you going to do? But he turned it over to God so that he didn't have to carry it and bear it. Therefore, no root of bitterness could spring up in his heart. And God gives him an answer. They will not escape. Now, we know this. Will a Christ-rejecting, unrepentant person escape the wrath of God? No. It's just a matter of time. Ours is to pray that they would see their wrong and come to salvation in Christ, but if they do not, we know that God will take them out and hell will be their home. But heaven will be ours. And from the beginning to end, Scripture teaches that God will bring low those who harm his saints. In history, we think of the atrocities of Adolf Hitler. How did Hitler end his life? Suicide. God brought him low. He took him out. But those who were gassed and all the atrocities they suffered, where were they? Home. Home. They're home in heaven. Even what's going on right now in our world. Where's Putin going to end up? Yeah. Right. If you don't repent, you're going there. The Lord knows our wanderings and the trial of our faith, and it's precious in our sight. Do you realize that when you cry godly tears, that God bottles them up? I don't know how many gallons I'm going to have up there in heaven when I get there. I assume he's got jars and jars. But God bottles them up. Precious in the sight of the Lord are his saints. And even precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. The psalmist reminds himself that the Lord stores our tears in a bottle. Now it's important for us to understand the old time custom. And it was when a person was ill or in great distress, his friends would go to see them and they would take with them a tear bottle. Then as the tears rolled down the cheeks of the sufferer, they were caught in these bottles. They were sealed up and preserved as a memorial of that event. And that's what David's referring to in verse 8. Does God hear the cries of his children? You better believe he does. Now, there are times, I think, probably in every one of our lives, at some point when we're going through some times of deep trial, deep distress, and it's ongoing, and it just seems like there's no end in sight, and we wonder if God hears, especially when our emotions get the best of us. How many of you at some point in your life have allowed your emotions to get the best of you? I'll raise my hand because I know me. But this is one of the believer certainties. God hears and God acts, because the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And you can bank on that. The moment you gave your heart and soul to God, you became his. I love being his. Because God, he don't remember my sins. He doesn't even consider them. He knows my frame. He understands who I am better than I understand who I am. He knows the thoughts and the plans that he has for me, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give me an expected end. He's promised me that I don't need to fear. He's promised me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, all things. No matter what trial I have to endure, no matter what health issue I might need to learn to tolerate. No matter what I go through or what you go through, you have a champion in God. He's your rock. He's your high tower. And our faith must be grounded, and the ground for faith is God and his word. Standing on the promises of Christ my Lord. What have I to fear? What have I to dread when I'm leaning on the everlasting arms? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And then we can think of that song. When waves like a sea billow rolls, it is well with my soul. So many promises that we even sing about. There's going to be times when we fear. There's going to be times when we wonder. But we cling to the rock that is Jesus Christ. And our fears dispel. What time I am afraid, I will trust in him. God knows the thoughts that he has for us. And if you've placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've already lived through some trials. You've already gone through some tough stuff. And it wasn't fun. And you may not have understood why at the moment, but God brought you out the other side. And you grew a little bit. You understood a little more. You gained a little bit of experience. But did God drop you? No. Did God forsake you? No. Because if God is for us, who, what can be against us? Not one darn thing. When you go with God, you're standing on a solid rock. When you go with God, you're in the place of absolute, sure fulfillment. When you go with God, What time I am afraid, I will trust in Him. In God will I sing. In God will I give praise. Amen. So as you leave tonight, I hope that you will take with you this thought. And I hope it'll be in your mind like a song that just won't get out of your head. If God be for us, who can be against us?